Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This series has been phenomenal. I hope that it does go 7 because as a fan, you know, now that we've also been eliminated, I am a fan who's working out and basically watching basketball. I want to see it come down to the wire. I want to see both teams' stars rise to the occasion and display their greatness. I think this is exactly what everyone wants to see. As we all know, Team USA has definitely struggled out of the gate, losing their first 2 exhibition games. I think there's definitely reason to kind of be a little worried because of how close the Olympics are. I think there's a lot of reasons why guys drop far in the draft pick, and sometimes it's, you know, based on lack of evaluation, and sometimes the guy's just not that good yet. And there are other times, you know, maybe it's some behavior off the court that kind of affects how a player is perceived. Welcome to the Pull Up Pod. This is episode number 116, and it's currently Thursday, July 15th. And on this date, July 15th, in 1990, the clock on Dame Time officially started. Damian Lillard, a.k.a. Sub-Zero, a.k.a. Dame Dollar, a.k.a. my homie, turns 31 today. So happy birthday, Dame. Hope you have a great one. And I hope you enjoy taking little Dame to see Space Jam, which is what I heard was on the docket. So shout out to Dame being in Space Jam. Shout out to Space Jam. Shout out to Bron. And I hope all goes well with that. Update for everyone. It's been a while, man. We've been gone for a minute and now we're back. I've been grinding, but before the grind, I was in Hawaii celebrating my wife's 30th birthday alongside her and her parents. Her wishes were to, you know, have a nice vacation, kind of relax, kick back, and enjoy some time together with her loved ones and closest friends, which is us and her parents. And we had a great time. We swam. Well, I lied. They swam. I sat by the beach, put my feet in the water, and relaxed. I got tan. I had some pina coladas, some Henny coladas, some Mai Tais, some wine. It was quite the time. We stayed at the Four Seasons on the water at Lanai, Hawaii, I guess. It's Lanai, Hawaii. Lanai for the people who don't live on the island and don't know how to pronounce it. It was a great time. The weather was about 85, 86 degrees. And this is probably one of the first times in a long time where I was just taking a complete vacation, you know, complete mental, physical break to where I read a little bit. I laid down. I ate, you know, throughout the day and didn't work out at all. Watched a little bit of the finals. Watched a little bit of FIFA, a.k.a. Football. And there were some great finishes in that. But it was just a really, really great time for me to kind of refocus after going through a week or two of two-a-days. I thought it was important to give my body a break and celebrate my wife. But I think it's important that, you know, all athletes and all people in general take those mental and physical breaks. And for us as basketball players and as athletes, the season is so long and taxing on the body, especially this last season with COVID and with, like, the pressures of, you know, am I positive, am I negative, you know, trying to perform, trying to play. Going through a tough season in general, you know, for all of us, you know, injuries, breaking my foot, personal things happening, and then us losing the way we lost. It was just a tough year, and I felt great to kind of relax, refocus, and my workouts this week have been great. I've really, really enjoyed getting back into the grind, and sometimes when you take that break and step away, you miss the game more, you love the game more, you're kind of itching to get back, but appreciating that rest because now I just feel so much more fresh, so much more focused, so much more locked in and engaged. And it showed. I've been working out, you know, every day essentially. And, you know, starting with my mornings, I basically work out with Todd. We lift Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday during this 3-week cycle would basically break down the months in 21-day strings of starting with 4 workouts in the weight room. And Mondays, I lift at 7:30 a.m. And then I shower, you know, steam room, kind of relax, refresh, have breakfast, let the dog out or whatever. And then I get ready for my next workout with Jim at Jim Fitness, a.k.a. the Lion's Den. And we get boxing in, about 25 to 35 minutes of boxing. Then we get some movement stuff in and go through core exercises, strengthening hips, ankles, back, and a little bit of strengthening there and some light conditioning work in the circuits. And after that, I shower again. And then I see my PT, Devin, my movement specialist who I hired last season. We go through, you know, a lot of body work, recovery stuff, strengthening stuff, kind of checking the joints out, making sure the hips are moving, making sure my arms are moving, shoulders, back, knees, head, shoulders, knees and toes, basically going through all of that stuff because recovery is extremely important when you're putting your body through those extra stresses and traumas of work. You have to also rest, eat properly, and sleep. So I've taken those things extremely serious over the course of my career, especially now as I get closer to 30. And I also have Phil Beckner in town, aka Dr. Phil. We've worked together on and off a little bit, you know, in the past, just not a lot, breaking down film, things of that nature. And now he's out here for the past 3 days. And we've been putting in work, starting on my structure, my base, and my mechanics, you know, building from the ground up. I told him I wanted a lot of mechanical work, where it's footwork, it's feet, it's knees, it's hips, you know, where am I releasing the ball out on my follow through, and just kind of taking a step back to do structure based workouts. And it's been a really, really great time, and I've enjoyed it. So shout out to my guy Phil for looking out for me. Shout out to Todd. We've been together for a long, long, long time. And shout out to Devin. Things have just been going really, really well. I'm pleased with the work I put in. I'm happy with where I'm at, and I'm really looking forward to this season. And I've captured some behind-the-scenes stuff with my guy, Justin, to kind of take a glimpse at, you know, some of the training, some of the things I'm doing from a day in the life standpoint. And we'll see what we do with some of that content later on. But the off-season grind is in full effect. I'm happy with where I'm at, pleased with where I'm at, and excited about the future, and also excited about what's next for the rest of the summer. But I remind everyone that's listening right now to make sure you're following the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts and shows. Hit us with a 5-star review. Share the show with a friend. Tell the friend to tell a friend. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Pull Up Pod for fresh content, because it'll be there all season long. And stay locked in, because next we have Team USA and the discussion around Team USA. What's kind of happening so far in these exhibition games? What happens next for the Olympics? Obviously, I talked about Space Jam 2 coming out tomorrow. Will it stack up to the original? But first, the Bucks even this series at 2-2 with a win against the Suns last night. This series has been phenomenal. The Suns win the first 2 games at home. They take a 2-0 lead in dominant fashion. Booker's killing, CP's killing. It looks as if they're going to run with the series. And then you go to game 3, and there's all this talk about how the Bucks have been down 0-2 before. The Bucks have been down in previous series, and they've been able to figure out ways to come back. They've won games at home. They've stolen games on the road, and they have Giannis. Milwaukee goes and wins game 3. Giannis puts up over 40 points. And then last night kind of showed the importance of Chris Middleton, how impactful he can be, how creative he can be, how important the mid-range is, and how clutch he's been throughout this postseason. Milwaukee wins the game, and based on some of the highlights and things I've seen throughout the game, Booker was sensational. He was spectacular. He had 38 points through 3 quarters. He finished with 42. He got in foul trouble. There was a questionable call that we'll discuss a little bit later on, but he was phenomenal. Chris Middleton scored 40 points, 10 points in the final 2:15. He hit clutch free throws, clutch pull-up jumpers. He answered the call every time, hitting threes off the dribble, finishing around the basket, and was the difference maker in this game. For sure, 100%. And I think the sleeper in this situation was that Jrue Holiday. Offensively, obviously, he wasn't great. He went 4 for 20, 0 for 5 from 3, 5 for 5 from the line, but he was a plus 8. And he had 13 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, but his defense on Chris Paul has been the difference. He's picking Chris Paul up, you know, not 94 feet. He's picking up out of bounds, turning them, being aggressive, active hands. He's allowed Milwaukee to not only turn over the Phoenix Suns in terms of forcing turnovers, getting out and running. But I think he's starting to wear on some of their guards. Obviously not Booker, but he did a tremendous job of defending him in game three, and they held Booker to like 4-13 or 4-14. But I think Drew's offense has suffered because of, you know, how impactful he's been defensively. And it's a lot of work to guard Chris Paul for an entire game, to pick him up full court and to be as active as he has been. But I think it's paid off. CP had a crucial turnover down the stretch with a chance to tie the game with under 1 minute. He finished with 10 points, five turnovers. And I think, you know, his last two or three games, he's had more turnovers than he's had the entire playoff. And he's also, you know, five turnovers in this game. I think this is the first time since 2012. That he's had five turnovers in you know, a playoff game in general. So that kind of shows you the impact they're having and how the bodies are kind of breaking down with how long this season has been. But I expect the Suns to turn things around going forward. I think this series goes seven. I think Phoenix wins game five. I think they lose game six. And I think it goes seven with Phoenix winning at home. And I hope that it does go seven because as a fan, you know, now that we've lost and been eliminated, I am a fan who's working out and basically watching basketball. I want to see it come down to the wire. I want to see both teams' stars rise to the occasion and display their greatness. Giannis, obviously, you know, crucial blocks, finishing around the basket, making his teammates better. CP, you know, having a chance to win his first ring. Devin Booker, you know, 23, 24 years old, having a chance to bring Phoenix their first championship in a very, very long time. I think this is exactly what everyone wants to see, exactly what you could hope for if you're a league like the NBA. You know, two small markets battling it out. A guy who's a two-time MVP representing not only the Milwaukee Bucks, but Greece. This is great, great for the sport. And I think that the X factors in this series will be Mikal Bridges. I think the X factors will be, you know, the PJ Tuckers of the world, the Lopez of the world. You know, will they play well on the road? Will the role players step up on the road? The home team has been able to be successful throughout this series, but I think the role players are a factor in Drew Holiday. If offensively he can get things going, the Bucks have a great chance of winning the series. Otherwise, they're going to have to depend on Chris Middleton scoring 30 to 40 and being a hero each night. But the great news is we'll find out soon enough. And we'll also talk about Team USA struggles out of the gate.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
As we all know, Team USA has definitely struggled out of the gate, losing their first two exhibition games, first to Nigeria, 90-87, and then on July 12th, they lost to Australia, 91-83. They rebounded with a win over Argentina earlier this week, topping them 108-80. But just kind of looking at the first two games, I think the major issue was that they haven't had a lot of time to practice. I think that's been a huge, huge factor, not being able to practice, essentially having 5 to 7 days to play together as a team, to kind of go through plays from a chemistry standpoint, understanding spacing. You have a lot of very, very talented players on the court who are trying to get used to each other. They're coming out of a condensed season in the bubble, and then you come back and have another condensed season where you're testing and kind of going through the COVID protocols to a small break, small camp, to playing real games against, you know, teams who've been together for years, teams who have practiced together for years and are used to international basketball. I think all those things have played a factor in why the USA team has struggled early on. Not only is the basketball different, the physicality is different, the rules are different, you know, slightly, and the three-point line is much closer. So I think all those things have kind of played a factor. I think there's definitely reason to kind of, you know, be a little worried because of how close the Olympics are. And the situation that they're going to go through, probably not having fans during the Olympics, probably, you know, not being able to kind of move as freely as players are used to. And then also, you know, the fact that Bradley Beal, it's been announced that he's entered COVID-19 health and safety protocols and he will not play in the Tokyo Olympics. First reported by Shams, I believe, of the the stadium and athletic. But I think all of those things will play a huge, huge, huge factor in the success or failure of the USA team. But I think they have the talent. They have the coaching staff, obviously. It's just a matter of how fast can they turn the corner, how fast can they find their chemistry, and how fast can they get comfortable with the international game and the way it's played. But I think guys are definitely willing to learn and grow together in order to represent the United States to the best of their abilities. And I think this year, a lot of guys opted out because of the season. The season that we've gone through, you know, what's happened in the past with the bubble and how people have missed a lot of time with family, missed a lot of time with loved ones, and it's been a lot of stress on the body, not only mentally, but also physically. And I think for me personally, it's nice to be able to be around my family. It's nice to spend time with my wife, be home, and to strategically work on my game, strategically figure out ways to improve my specific game, working in an environment I'm comfortable in, an environment that I'm used to with people that, you know, I've been with my entire career. And being able to kind of control my workload, you know, having broke my back, having fractured my foot multiple times, it was important for me to be home and to rest and strategically plan my summer. And that's, you know, why I'm not currently out there with them. But turning the page to the NBA draft, the draft is coming up very, very, very soon. July 29th, actually, it's weird to not have the draft in June, which has been the case historically. But I'm thinking about the draft historically, and you look at some of the steals in the draft. You look at where guys were selected and how their careers have kind of panned out. And I'm focusing on Giannis right now. Giannis was the 15th pick in my draft, ironically, and he was under the radar. He was kind of an unsung player, so to speak, coming out of Greece. Very skinny. A project, if you will, not a lot of skill set, but room for plenty of growth. Wasn't a great shooter, but he had nice form. Wasn't super athletic, but he was long. He was rangy. He was fast, and he showed that he could definitely, you know, improve. And you fast forward now to a two-time MVP who's muscular. He's athletic. His handle is better. His vision is improved. He's fearless. He's a fast break nightmare, and he's obviously a guy who's, you know, revolutionized the game in terms of having to, you know, account for him at all times, having to load up the boxes on him. And I think he's kind of showed that it doesn't matter where you're picked at. And then you look even closer, obviously Devin Booker is currently playing, 13th pick in the draft, came off the bench at Kentucky, was a shooter. You know, I think he won sixth man of the year of the SEC, and his game has evolved. He always had the skill set, the footwork, the determination, the mentality, but his game has definitely evolved and taken strides to where he's scoring 40 points in the NBA Finals game. He scored 18 points in a quarter, which is the second most all time in NBA history. I think Kobe Bryant and I believe Allen Iverson may have scored 20 points in a quarter in the finals. And I think obviously Giannis has done it as well, but for him to do it at his age kind of shows you, you know, how far along he is. And then I think the other steals are obvious, you know. Pascal Siakam goes 27th. Chris Middleton, who's also playing in this series, goes 39th, second round pick. Jimmy Butler, last pick in the first round. And Draymond Green, another second round pick who's going to be a Hall of Famer. Then you got obviously Donovan Mitchell, 13th pick. Klay Thompson, 11th. Some guys who were just, you know, late lottery. Kawhi Leonard, 15th. But Nikola Jokic, 41st pick, wins MVP, comes in chubby. And it's funny because when he was drafted, I think there was a Taco Bell commercial going on during his pick. So they actually are showing Taco Bell commercial, and it talks about how he's picked to kind of show his name, and then it fades back into the Taco Bell commercial. But now he's arguably the best big man in the NBA, and it's kind of showed you that you can develop a game any way, any style, any shape, any form. And he has a unique skill set to where he can shoot, he can pass, he can dribble. He's virtually unstoppable, and we've seen it firsthand during the postseason. But I think there's a lot of reasons why guys drop far in the draft pick, and sometimes it's, you know, based on lack of evaluation, and sometimes the guy's just not that good yet. Players develop under, you know, NBA training, NBA requirements that are basically placed on young players. You got to be in the building early. You can stay late. You don't have to worry about anything, and you're basically shipped to a market to where your job is to solely perform at a high level and figure out how to get the most out of your potential. And I think that's why a lot of players who have untapped potential are able to tap into it once they're drafted. I think it's not always the evaluators who hit or miss. Sometimes the player just doesn't reach his potential. Maybe it's mental hurdles he has to overcome, or it's physical, where they're extremely talented, but the opportunity may not be there, or they're facing injuries. So I think there's a lot of reasons why a player doesn't necessarily pan out, and a lot of reasons why a player sometimes drops in the draft. And then there are other times, you know, maybe it's some behavior off the court that kind of affects the personality and how a player is perceived by the actual scouts, by the actual teams that are positioned to potentially target them. So I think there's a lot of reasons why that happens. And, you know, look at my draft. Anthony Bennett goes number one, who was a really good player. He had injuries during the pre-draft process. And I think he was kind of thrown in a fire. I think he would still be in the league if he was a lottery pick, like a mid to late lottery pick. He would still be in the league. And I think since he was the number one pick drafted to a tough situation in Cleveland, then the LeBron stuff happens. There was just so much that happened around him to where he wasn't put in the best position to succeed. And I think a lot of things factored into that. And I think that if he was a lottery pick, late lottery, then I think he would still be in the league because the expectations wouldn't have been as high. But looking at players that have outperformed their draft positions, you know, obviously Covington comes to mind. And you think about the undrafted players in this league, you know, the Kent Bazemores of the world, who figure out a way to stay, figure out a way to prolong their careers. It's the work ethic, it's the consistency, and it's the hunger. The lower you're drafted, the more of a chip you have on your shoulder, but also, you know, that you're that much closer to free agency. Think, for instance, Allen Crabbe, a guy who was drafted in the second round. He was able to get to the money faster. Chandler Parsons, drafted in the second round, was able to get to the money faster because the contract is shorter for those guys. It's a, you know, 2-year deal with an option. Usually you opt out and then you can get to the money fast. I think Gilbert Arenas was able to do the same thing. So I think all those things have played a factor in success and failure of players. And it's not necessarily always the evaluator's fault when a player doesn't fail, or when a player succeeds. And it's not necessarily always the player's fault, because sometimes you're put in a bad situation to where it's hard to succeed. And I think that's a combination of things just kind of falling in place. And fortunately for me, I was drafted to Portland, you know, a lottery pick, drafted to a good team. I break my foot the last day of training camp. So I'm not able to perform. I'm not able to play. And I have to kind of sit and watch. And, you know, I'm around a bunch of, you know, players who were drafted and are playing right away. So that was frustrating for me, but I had to wait my turn. And once I got the opportunity, the franchise, the organization, they trusted me. They gave me a chance to play. They gave me a chance to grow. They helped me develop so that when I did play, I took advantage of all the things around me. And then I hit the ground running. So that was a really, really dope situation for me to have to wait, but then being able to see the fruits of my labor later on.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Changing the page here and heading into one of my favorite segments, Pull Up or Dish. I have to talk about some of the trades, and ironically, sometimes I am in some of these mock trades, but in this case, I'm not, and I will talk about Ben Simmons to Sacramento, which is something we've seen. Mark Stein reported on Tuesday that the Kings were one of the 5 teams interested in trading for Simmons, and the Sixers were reportedly asking for an all-star caliber player in return, which could potentially be De'Aaron Fox, but the Kings have said they are highly unlikely to trade him, which means we don't want to trade him. We don't think we'll trade him, but there is a chance that if you throw in enough things, we'll consider it. Rumor is that they're including Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, and a future first-round pick for Simmons. Simmons to Sacramento would produce a lineup of Simmons, Fox, Halliburton, Harrison Barnes, and Holmes. I am dishing on this for now because I think it's premature for the Sixers to make any moves without kind of evaluating everything around them and seeing what's going to happen with the draft at the end of July. But I think that the fit is unique because Fox is a primary ball handler who's great in the pick and roll. Halliburton is a primary ball handler that's great in the pick and roll. And then you throw Simmons in, who's very, very good on the ball, but is a primary ball handler who obviously is not a great shooter. I don't think they blend well together. I don't think it's a great fit for him, but I do think that, you know, Buddy Hill would be a great fit in Philly, and I think that Fox would also be a great fit in Philly if they're continuing to kind of look for, you know, guards who can kind of create, score, shoot, things of that nature. But I think that, you know, the fact that these trade rumors are kind of starting to swirl means that there's a lot of teams who are probably showing interest, putting packages together and kind of gauging, you know, the Sixers' interest and potentially trading him. And I think that the Kings have a lot of pieces. They have a lot to offer. They got first-round picks. Obviously, Buddy Hield and Bagley are good. I think there's some interesting tension between Marvin and the Sacramento Kings based on what we've seen and heard. This isn't me talking about like what I know. This is what I've seen and heard, you know, on Twitter just like everybody else. I think something's probably going to happen around, you know, that team in the future. And I think that their future is bright. I really like Halliburton a lot. Obviously, HB is good. He's a great piece. He's a guy you want on your team. He shows great leadership and skill set. And Holmes has one of the best floaters I've ever seen in my life. So I think they're in a really good spot to improve and to get better. It's just a matter of figuring out the right fit. In terms of Space Jam 2, the question is whether or not it will top the original Space Jam. And I think the answer is no. But I am really, really happy for LeBron. I'm happy he's able to kind of, you know, walk in some of those footsteps he's seen, you know, as a kid looking up to Jordan, and to be able to kind of sit in his seat and play this role in Space Jam is an honor and a privilege and something I admire as a kid who grew up in Canton, Ohio. But I think the fact that all these people are in this is really dope. You got Dame, AD, Clay, Nneka, Taurasi. I am dishing on this being better, but I am happy and excited and looking forward to seeing it. Switching topics to get the dub, take the L, another one of my favorite topics. The dub of the week has to be Mike Brown, refusing a salary to coach Nigeria in the Olympics. I've known Mike Brown. I've got to speak to him and talk to him over the course of my career. Great guy, does things the right way, wants to win, and is also a phenomenal coach. And we were able to see that, you know, as they upset the USA team in the first exhibition game of the Olympics. He's got those guys playing well together. He's in it for the right reasons, and he's trying to figure out ways to continue to help promote the game of basketball, not only in Nigeria, but in Africa in general, and I think he's doing that. And the fact that he refused to take a salary and wanted to put the money towards that is a huge, huge, huge sign of, you know, his integrity, but also his sign in figuring out ways to make the world a better place. And I think that was an awesome move. And coaching the national team is definitely a big commitment. It's a lot of responsibility, especially under the climate we're in today with COVID. But I truly respect him and what he's done. Another one of my favorite dubs of the week goes out to my boy Nurk. Nurk has decided to try to buy unused vaccines for his hometown and people in Bosnia, which is really, really cool of him to kind of figure out ways to continue to help his community and where he comes from. Nurk's always had a big heart, always been a great dude, and I'm thankful to be able to play against him. And what he's doing, I think, is inspirational, inspiring, and just really, really cool that he's willing to kind of go out his way to figure out ways to kind of help his people during these tough times. Because I know a lot of people are struggling and trying to figure out ways to find the vaccine and get access, especially in other countries. And I think what he's doing is very, very commendable. There's a baseball player that I need to talk about. Very, very good. His name is Ohtani. Ohtani is a legend in my eyes. I'm thankful I've been able to witness his greatness, you know, being able to hit home runs and pitch, being able to essentially lead off and be the number one seed in the home run derby, but also, you know, make it as an all-star playing a real position kind of shows you this is a generational talent, once in a lifetime talent. And he's continuing to revolutionize the game of baseball based on his talent level and skill set. So I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about how great he is. He makes me want to go play the video game again because he's doing things that you'd only do on a video game in real life, like MLB The Show type stuff. And I just wanted to shout him out and his greatness and just to tell him to keep going, because that's really dope what he's doing. And it's inspiring to see, you know, someone revolutionize the game like that. The L of the week has to be Scott Foster. And I hate talking about referees, but him referencing CP3 games is hilarious. After game three on Sunday, Chris Paul is now 0-12 when Scott Foster referees playoff games he plays in. For comparison's sake, CP's playoff career is 65-62, so most of his L's, under a quarter, have come against Scott Foster. Game three, the Suns is a team. They had 16 free throws. Giannis shot 17 alone. And according to Mark Spears, after the Thunder's Game 7 loss in playoffs last year with Scott Foster, he made a point to tell CP3 he also reffed his Game 7 loss in 2008 when he was with the Hornets. Their history is well documented. It's no coincidence that Chris continues to lose when Scott Foster refs those games. It's obvious Scott doesn't like him, and it's probably also obvious that CP is not a big fan of Scott Foster as well. And I look forward to seeing what happens next, and I hope the NBA is on to this and we're able to avoid Scott Foster reffing a Game 7 in Phoenix, because that would be a recipe for disaster. Now we move on to my favorite segment of the week, the wine segment. Cue the wine music, please. Ooh, such a soothing, soothing sound. I gotta check my phone because I drank a lot of wine in Hawaii, and then I went on a detox because I was working out and trying to figure out ways to improve my game and my body. And when you're waking up at 7 a.m., 6 a.m., it's hard to really drink all the time, if I'm being honest. But one of the favorite wines I had in the last, you know, week is a Louis Jadot Pommard 2015. Very, very, very good wine that obviously hails from Pommard, France. More light than bold, more smooth than tannic, more dry than sweet, a little bit higher acidity, but it was super, super smooth. Hence a raspberry, cherry, strawberry. Very earthy. Get a little bit of oak, a little bit of vanilla, but I truly, truly enjoyed it. You could drink it on its own or with food. It pairs well with a lot of different things. I actually enjoyed it with some beef. But also had some pasta on the side as well as salad and bread, and it went really well with it. But I highly, highly recommend that you try to refrigerate it for a few minutes before you drink it if you don't have a cellar. If you do have a cellar, I recommend it, you know, storing it around, you know, 56 to 60 degrees Fahrenheit. But this is definitely special. The price point is reasonable depending on where you get your wine. But you can find it for about, you know, $60 to $75 depending on where you go. And I highly, highly recommend it. I want to thank everybody for checking in this week. It's been a dope week for me personally, working out, getting back in the gym, being able to watch basketball. As always, be sure you're following the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and hit the show up on social at Pull Up Pod on Twitter and Instagram. We're always posting fresh content there. I'll see you tomorrow. And as the saying goes, don't forget to pull up.